not as much milk. Okay, my first question is, what is Sweet Sneak? Do you want to answer this?
Okay, Sweet Sneak is, first of all, a pop-up bakery. And that means the concept behind it is that every other month we would pop up at another location. So every time it's at a different location. And it's four of us who founded it 1.5 years ago out of a shared passion for baking and the passion of having friends around. And we just wanted to share that with our friends. Plus the fact that we wanted to do something more interesting besides the studies.
Yeah. And something real.
Something
okay,
real.
There's already a lot of aspects, but something real that is, goes beyond all the Facebook interaction and stuff like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so the concept is, itself is really easily described. It is, we bake a lot of different things. Cupcakes, brownies, carrot cake, lemon cake, whatever you can imagine. We announce the event around 2 weeks before on Facebook. We have a fan page, so Facebook is the social media channel or our communication, our main communication channel. Then we send out an invitation to an event. And just the day before the actual event, we release the exact location. And we've had it at my private apartment was the first one. We had it at a garden, at Art Rebels, which was a gallery space, at Republiken, which is a co-working space, at a French cafe, on top of a playground. And we also participated in Roskilde this year. Mm-hmm. And then the event itself, we have a huge cake buffet, and it's usually around 3 hours, so it's a limited amount of time. And then people come. They don't pay a fee or anything. They just come to the event, and they queue, and they choose their cake. They get the cake. They can sit down and have
it's
some hygge.
It's basically a bakery that appears only
once
a certain
in a while.
Time. Yeah, once in a while on changing locations. Because we always we were always dreaming about each of us having a cafe at one point. But we didn't just want to be this other cafe because there are already so many cafes and bakeries out there.
Yeah.
So we chose this form to make it a bit more interesting for us as well.
Yeah. And we didn't know if it would work. We just knew, okay, we just, worst case, we have to eat all the cake by ourselves. And then people came and they liked it and they liked the atmosphere and there was something special about it. And then they kept asking, when is the next one? And then we were like, okay, there's probably a next one. And then it went on and then, here we are now.
How exactly did you come up with the idea?
I was really literally sitting in a cafe, like super
cheesy
startup thing. And thinking about, okay, we were baking at this time a lot.
Yeah, it was. It came up when each of us individually baked once in a while. And then you'd have a whole cake at home and you couldn't finish it. Then you'd maybe bring a piece to class and eat it in between. And then we were like, this is so unromantic. And we love being together with our friends and having a piece of cake and the coffee. So that was sort of where it arose a little bit. And then, as Brini said already, each of us, we found out that each of us, we had just met for the master's. So we didn't know each other from before. So we found out every one of us used to have the idea of maybe having a cafe one day. And then we were like, hey, we should do something cool. And then another factor was another pop-up bakery that Brini knew from Vienna.
Well, we knew the pop-up concept and we thought it was
exactly.
a cool thing.
Exactly. So the concept, of course, we didn't invent that. So all these thoughts came together and then we were like, okay, we want to do something nice. Let's make a pop-up bakery. And then we sat down, Brini's a graphic designer, so we all came up with some ideas for the logo. Then we sat down for the name. We invented Finley the Fox. That was all really classic, sitting down in a cafe, going through that, brainstorming, and then leading it from one step to the other.
Why bakery?
Because of
the baking.
Yeah, because of
just
our passion
very
for baking.
Plain, yeah.
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 Very girly.
Yeah. And everyone loves...
Has it been a profession?
No, for none of us.
No.
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 And finally, it was actually... even some of us, they weren't... for instance, Antje, she doesn't even like cakes that much.
Yeah, it's super funny.
And
yeah.
you haven't
and
really
I was used to be... Like, my friends at home, they... Some would still ask, And what do you do in this pop-up bakery? Because I was used to be known for not being able to cook or bake or anything.
That's the funny
like that.
Thing about it. It was Teresa who used to bake a lot.
Yeah.
And
I just got to here, basically.
Yeah.
I just started. And so now I have my
specialties. But do you like to bake today?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it was more like the concept behind it that was attracting us. And then
but the whole combination.
Yeah.
And the outcome of just being together. And I always love to be at my grandmother's and eat a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
And a homemade cake and like this whole hygge. It's really that Danish word really describes it very well, I think.
So very self-taught everything.
Yeah, totally. No profession.
You aren't here from Denmark, but what were the opportunities that you saw here in Denmark for starting this concept?
We couldn't have done it in Germany.
You couldn't?
No. It would not be possible because Germany is... Brini's from Austria, in Austria either, I think.
You mean it's the pop-up thingy? Or what?
Yeah, just your concept. Why did you do it right now in Denmark? Did you saw some special opportunities or...
I think Denmark is just a country where you can easily try out yourself. And we always call it our playground because we do everything about it ourselves. It's not just the baking, but it's the branding, it's the storytelling, it's the social media strategy, it's the event spotting, the communication with the people having the locations, setting the event up, all the logistics behind it and so on. And the photography, we do everything ourselves, and that's what we like to do. So the pop-up bakery gives us the space and the opportunity to do all these things.
Yeah, and at that point we had the time, we had the team, we had the feeling that it was the right team and we had the same passions, funnily. So it was, we only had to do it.
It's sort of a natural outcome.
And I mean, we would have done it also if the five of us would have met in Germany or in Austria.
Yeah.
It's just we were in Denmark, that's why. There's no reason why we did it because we were in Denmark.
No.
Yeah.
And because you say opportunities,
realized,
it's just easier to
but
do
we
these
realized
things.
Because we have these international backgrounds that it's way easier in Denmark to do these things.
And
what
I have
makes
to say...
It easier?
At first, although Denmark is super bureaucratic, it still gives startups a lot of freedoms.
Yeah.
Like in Austria, you couldn't prepare food 10 times in your home and then... give it to others. That's not possible.
In Germany, for instance, there's even a regulation that cafes and restaurants, because of health regulations, you can't even give away food that otherwise would be wasted
and
to homeless people. You can't.
I guess it's similar here.
Yeah, you can't do that here in Denmark.
Okay.
Other, for instance, you can never have a bakery if you're not an educated baker.
Really?
Yeah.
In Austria,
Yeah, in Germany as well.
Yeah, that's like, there's a these... how is they called? It's like it's way from the medieval century where these
handwerks,
these professions have their own organizations, and then you have to be part of this, otherwise you can't do it. Yeah, it's super. Yeah, so it's way easier in Denmark.
But for Denmark, we've been talking about that, especially Copenhagen is a good place. We just found we didn't think that much about these things before. We just that was just the hey, let's do this. We want to do something cool. Da 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 da. And then throughout the process, we also realized that Copenhagen is just a pretty perfect place to do it because people are open and perceptive to these things. In Germany, I think you could maybe do that in Berlin, but in every other time, maybe Cologne or something like that. But there's really few cities where people are so progressive and like new things. The Germans are much more conservative, so it would be that's something I don't know. Do I want to go there? So it needs a lot more time for these things to actually get accepted and people visiting it. And here everyone's like up for new stuff and open-minded, and that's also a big advantage here in Denmark, I think, which we found along the way.
Can you elaborate a bit about the barriers you've made? You're probably
the
made
barriers.
A lot of barriers in the last year.
Funnily, mostly logistics, I would
say. Definitely. And also the whole thing that, okay, actually, if we're doing that, it has to be official. We can't just do it officially. You need to sign up as a register as a company. You need to have this kitchen. You need to have this smile report. You need to have this hygiene license and all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the administrative stuff.
And then, of course, logistics. I mean, we are here. Everyone arrived with a suitcase. We don't have things. You know, it's we don't have a family that can borrow us a car. We don't have, you know, it's like all these little things. Or like with the pop-up cafe, we were thinking we need furniture, but we don't have furniture ourselves. If we were in back home in Germany, it would be easy. We would just go down in our cellars and borrow the porcelain from our grandmothers, you know? It's just all these little things.
Yeah. But regarding the pop-up events themselves, it was surprisingly smooth. Like, for instance, spotting locations and stuff, that it all developed really naturally. Like, one led to the other, literally. Whatever. We wrote a project about Art Rebels. That's how we met Carla, the founder. Mm-hmm. She said, hey, I like your concept. Let's do something together. We did that. Then we went to Trailer Park Festival because of that. We met the guys from Republiken, talked to them, and so on. So that was really natural. So there were not really barriers in that sense, I would say. It's more the organization part and all the things you just learn by doing. That you realize, oh, it's not that easy. Oh, we need to take care of that. So these little things that pop up along the way.
Yeah. What about the legal aspects? How have you stumbled upon that on your way? And how?
Of course, because we knew that in our home countries it's all a little bit stricter than here, we obviously thought, okay, let's of course check this out. I think the first event was a little bit like, let's just do it. Maybe no one even comes. So we didn't really think that much about it there. But then we knew, of course, that if we wanted to continue doing this, we would have to make sure that we are within the legal borders, or however you want to call it. And then we actually talked to other food entrepreneurs as well that we knew by then and asked in how far, if they knew that we could do this and so on. And then we found that regulation as well, that you can prepare food from your home up to 10 times a year. And we knew that we'd stay within that because we only did an event every other month, and then we had a couple of things in between that we also did. Yeah. And then, of course, we know if you really want to go with this and register as a company and so on, then it's a whole different story.
So
and
you're
then,
not registered at not the yet. Moment?
No.
No. Company.
No. Mm-mm. No. Yeah. Exactly.
Which leads me to the next question. Capital. How have you managed that?
We invested, we went step by step. It's everything in a very, very small scale, what we were doing. Yeah. It's like, we do an event, then we have some money left over, and then we buy business cards or stickers or use it for the next event. So it's more like step by step. It's not that we all put a big sum in the beginning into the event. It all evolved from itself. And that's how we wish, how we hope to continue.
But it's all it's all private stuff. Yeah. So it's not that we have...
But do you have capital now? If I asked you to do an event next week, do you have the capital to go out and invest in food?
Yes.
And,
Ingredients and so on, we usually do. But that's all private. So it's not that we have like a big fund or whatever and that we work from that. But it's, as Brini said, step by step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The future.
Yeah.
We have a lot of ideas.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
almost, just as you said as well.
Almost exploding from ideas. And it's like if we could easily spend all of our time on that thing.
Yeah. Already.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
the only thing is that we are limited in time, of course, and then also because this thing needs some time until it actually can carry four people for their living. So it's more of now focusing on some essential parts.
Yeah.
And not only, we figured that we're not gonna become a catering thing. It's not about the cakes, it's more about
The whole concept. It's about the we always call it it's about the experience, obviously. Yeah. And people do recognize that as well. So it's not just us dreaming about that. So and people actually have been approaching us and saying yeah, girls, you can really tell, and you've done a great job in the storytelling. You've managed to build up a brand with that fox and with the story behind it, and people recognize that brand.
People recognize that if there's a concept that works from the very beginning, works from the napkins to the saying goodbye to the people, it's like everything in between. We figured that that's something that we can tell others, we can help others with, not only for our own events, but maybe for other events as well.
Yeah. So our ideal thought, but first of all, we have to first step comes first. So basic things like what do we do when we're finished with our studies, and so on. Like Brini will start working full-time. Teresa's working right now. I'm not yet, and Antje's not yet. But all these really banal, plain things have to be sorted out first. But then the first step will be to register as a company and then decide what the first thing will be that we do, and then we can build up on that. So our ideal thought would be we go on like this. We do our events once in a while. We do some catering once in a while. And then we would like to become something, maybe like an agency, who does actually for others what we do for ourselves, for our brand. Yeah. And we could put in everything. We could put in photography. We could say, hey, let's make a wedding. We got a request to do a wedding next year, for instance, and stuff like that. And then we would just take it as it comes. So with thought, like, we don't do anything just like that without thinking about it, but just as we did with the whole thing in the beginning. So everything we decided to do, we did it thought through and properly. But
yeah, the next step goes beyond the cakes.
Yeah,
definitely.
That puts it very well. Yeah.
Just to go back a little bit, Roskilde Festival. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a bit about the experience and what you can use it for?
That was really nice.
It was amazing. It was very short of notice.
Yeah.
It was not planned. And we got approached 1.5 months in advance.
Yeah.
2 max for it. The whole thing. Maybe you go on.
Yeah, it was just the experience of being exposed to such a big audience. That was something we can take out of this. And also having this sort of more like a catering event, in the sense of that there's 60 people coming at a time and we have to serve them, of course, logistically was interesting. And then, of course, we could also enhance our network with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Actually, really great, great possibilities arose from the Roskilde event. Yeah, and for us, it's a great reference.
Yeah.
Totally. It was super interesting. It was a bit of a different format, because, as I said, at our events, usually people can just come, and sometimes there's a huge queue, which, of course, is super nice, because it adds to the whole thing. And for Roskilde, it was the first time that people paid for tickets in advance, and then they had, an all-in package, and it was 1.5 hours, and then we served them. Yeah. So it was a bit of a different concept, but it still was... It goes along with our concept of being a one-off experience. And so that was nice. Yeah, it was great. And in the whole festival
onward. You've been there as well, right?
I've been working for Roskilde Festival in 6 years now.
Wow!
Actually, it was me that came up with the idea to Christina to approach you.
Really?
Yeah. I had a meeting with her, and then she needed some entrepreneurs, and then I said she should call.
Thank you so much, Miamaya.
Good job.
You're welcome.
It was so much fun.
I've been telling everybody about it, and everyone's like, "What?"
But you've never been to Roskilde Festival.
No.
But Roskilde Festival in itself is amazing. I don't know how to explain it, but that's the only place on earth that I really feel alive. I love it so much when I'm there. I'm totally...
Yeah.
In the beginning, when I worked there, I used to do... Did you visit Dream City?
Yeah.
Yeah. I started Dream City 2 years ago.
Okay.
I was in the initial group of...
Cool. I need to tell Antje, because she loved it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And... Back then, I think I lived at the festival for 3 weeks or something.
Wow.
2 weeks in advance, and then the week, and then after too. And I love it so much. It was
so well organized.
And I don't. It sounds stupid, but it's so such an educating place, because you're so free minded, and I just love people.
I think
and everything is so improvised, and then ends up as being something so professional.
Yeah.
Professional.
And you can really feel, like I'm always saying now, I knew that Roskilde was a big thing in Denmark, I knew that, and that everyone loves it and so on, but now I fully understand it, that I've been that I've been there, because now you get that's the par excellence example for an experience and a place which you cannot describe in words.
No, you can't.
Right? You can't. You have to have been there and experienced it.
They have the whole thing. The word orange feeling.
Yeah.
Which covered this that we can't describe. Yeah. And it makes so much sense when you've been there that there is this special feeling and you can't tell it.
Yeah. And I mean, each festival has its special atmosphere to it. But now I understand, because also all Copenhagen is there. Yeah. Like it's a big thing on another, like on so many levels.
And it is a city. It's a working city for a week. And that's and especially when you're one of those building up, it's really amazing to see that. Okay, yeah.
That it grows as
so,
well.
Yeah. So if you get offered to be part of it again, do it, because it's, we all volunteer. Christina, which organized you, is also a volunteer. And that's the amazing part. It's like being part of a big family.
Yeah.
And when I did it the first time there 6 years ago, one told me, be careful, because you'll never quit again.
Yeah, I know.
And it will take all your time and you're going to hate it. And I was just like, nah, I'm just going to try it.
Yeah.
And
6 years.
After.
6 years.
And I hate it all year because it takes so much time. Yeah. But when I'm when there for that 1 week, it makes so much sense for me. And I, but,
totally.
Yeah. And I think the people who are making, most of them have been there since it began 30 years ago. So it is one big family, and their children are doing the things now. Wow. And
crazy. It's really impressive. We all have, at least I can only speak for myself, but I had I know now what post Roskilde depression feels like.
Yeah, Roskilde blues.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really,
that was amazing.
Yeah. Although we got the light version, right? Like I really have to say that I'm a little bit like, okay, if I imagine 9 days without showering, heat, rain, whatever in between, that's really hardcore. But I love the combination.
Yeah, but you don't think about it when you're there.
I know. But I've just been to Belgium as well, to another festival, and there I didn't shower for 4 days, and I felt pretty disgusting.
But everyone's like that.
Yeah, everyone's like that. But yeah, it was the blues. You totally got down with depression afterwards. But I think this year I found the perfect solution. I got picked up by my brother and his wife.
Oh.
The day it ended, and then we went to a summer house for
1 week.
Amazing! Yeah, and it was just, okay, next year we have to do the same again.
You also do need holidays after.
You're so tired. And you can't be alone. I hate to be alone afterwards. Yeah.
Exactly. True.
Yeah. It's an amazing place.
Yeah. It is.
Okay, so it was you, the little whisperer.
Yeah.
Christina.
Yeah. Now we know who we can thank for that.
Yeah, but that's sort of also one of the future ideas with Kitchen Collective, that people will approach us. Mm-hmm. And the ones that we have as brands are people that are making good food. So we don't want people making crap.
How do we know that we are making good food?
Actually, I've never been there. It's so funny.
True.
Because each time you have an event, something crazy happens. And then my plan was to visit you Friday, the Orcas, but then my sister got really, really ill and went to the hospital. Yeah. But it's just really crazy. Every time you have an event, something happens. Sorry, I can't participate.
Okay, we need to consider that for the next one.
But the point... what we want with the future is to have some not like mutual branding, but that people are proud to say that they prepared their food at Kitchen Collective. So
and the other way around.
Yeah,
sort of.
So people will approach Kitchen Collective in order to...
I think it's a very smart idea.
Yeah,
so we
totally.
Not that we become an agency, but...
But it's like friends.
Yeah,
sort
exactly.
of like a recommendation, like the very, very core...
And it works
core.
Very well. As we figured with our master thesis, it was so easy to connect. To connect with people that are like-minded, like with Röna, it was really
cool.
A nice relationship that evolved from that.
Yeah. But that's also something, getting back to Denmark, I once read a really nice quote by that Jakob Kampelina guy, the one who owns Texa and Canola, who's also like a creative entrepreneur. And he said that especially here in Copenhagen, what's special about this city when it comes to entrepreneurship and so on, is that everyone really helps each other. So if you have a business, of course you want your business to do well, but equally as much you want your friend's business to do well. And so you just help each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you from Copenhagen originally?
Yeah. No, I'm from the northern part of Zealand called Tisvildeleje, so it's an hour and away, but still close.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think people from Jutland will say that I'm from Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's people from Jutland.
Yeah. No, they think that... Uh-huh. Our mentality is like Copenhagen.
Like
but I think it's because, that Denmark is always announced to be a very hard entrepreneurial country to start up in because they're so...
Really?
It is.
Compared to, I wrote one of my big projects in my bachelor's about startup things comparing countries in Europe, and Austria is worse.
Oh, okay. But okay.
So everything
you got it. Better. But I heard that that's one of the reasons why we are so good friends, us entrepreneurs, because we really need help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's really difficult landscape to navigate in. Mm. Really.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a good spirit. So people
definitely
just try things out.
Yeah, and we only made good experience
totally.
So far.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have
any further questions. That was enough.
Yeah. So you're just trying to like map the whole.
Yeah, movement. It's like it's what I do. I map the movement, and then I'm using. Do you remember the Lample and Meyer article on fill configuring events?
Not
maybe
much.
Okay, yeah, but Jesper Strandgaard and Sylvia in their class, we had this article on field configuring events, how events shape mechanisms
movements.
And then create markets and industries.
Mm.
So that's sort of been my method, that I had looked at events and then mapped which entrepreneurs are at these events, and then I'm looking further into some of these entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So yeah, okay. I'm going to map and charge the movement.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking. It's really few that I'm looking at. I'm looking at people who are starting up right now, who doesn't belongs to another brand. So that Klaus Meyer making pop-up restaurants is not part of my research. It's I'm only looking at people who are creating a brand around this temporary movable business.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's who I'm looking at.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm mapping and charging who the people are, and then I want to dig deeper into what are the driving forces behind these people, because I think they are unique in some cases.
Yeah.
And then I put it in a prospect of what do you call entrepreneurship in the management studies, and then I will point out how these food entrepreneurs differs. But that's for my thesis.
Yeah.
So the end up of this is going to be, oh, these people are really interesting and they differ in this kind of form from other entrepreneurs. Let's look into who these people really are. So my thesis will be an in-depth study of these people, because then I can use this report in the future to legitimize that there is a need for a food incubator in Denmark.
Yeah.
So I'm making my thesis in order to have the papers to do funding.
Yeah.
Really.
Well.
Yeah.
But
and
that's
Jesper
really
think it's perfect. So that's Jesper
really is.
Strandgaard really loves the idea. Yeah.
For us, it's also going to be like, that's why I said we sort of know what we're going to say, that we really, because we're looking at how what pop-up is, and why is it taking place, where does it come from, what is it, trying to define it, because there's no really consensus about what is that. Everybody has different perceptions about it, and then we sort of put it into context, saying like, because obviously there's no literature on pop-up phenomena in Copenhagen, so we were like, okay, there's those four big pillars that are the nurturing grounds for this phenomenon, and it's like the experience economy, that's I already forgot it because we have looked into it, our four pillars for the master thesis: experience economy, innovation, and creative entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
That's like the three big ones.
And the creative industries, but that kind of goes into creative entrepreneurship.
Okay. Exactly. And then we describe that and say what's the state of the art in these things, and then how they sort of bring up that pop-up phenomenon. And then we're like, okay, and then let's look into different initiatives and ask experts about it. And then we also did interview Klaus Meyer on it, for instance. And then we'll just come up in our analysis with like saying, okay, we're just going to have to pick some different keywords or factors that shape that whole thing. And then because we're looking in how those pop-up phenomena contribute to innovation in the gastronomy scene.
Yeah.
So then we can just take it from there. So it's a little bit like, I think we probably intersect at some point.
Yeah.
But
I will definitely share my report when I'm done here the 28th of August. It's
cool.
Not, but then you can see the
nice,
if you can use it for something.
Yeah, but that's sort of our mindset as well. So then we'll, in the end, we'll probably say, yeah, they do contribute to innovation because they add this and that. Because Klaus Meyer, for instance, we asked him directly, so what is it that the pop, and then advantages for the entrepreneurs of the forum, and then we can also go a little bit into maybe comparison to a usual restaurant and the business that we need to do
What?
The business model aspect, what Rob also said, that he was like, our supervisor just said, like, yeah, maybe you can also just have a section looking into where does, the, like, what are the different business models for these pop-up things and for a usual
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. And that's what we're also going to do and use an analysis so we can have a little bit of a comparison. Yeah. And then, of course, in the end, we'll say, it's really great because it adds spirit, diversity, even competition, because it's no direct competition for traditional restaurants, but still it adds, like, in a way that they also feel the need to innovate all the time to stay up with everything and so on. So we'll probably then say, yeah, okay, this is all the positive impacts that it has, and in that far you can say that, yes, it does contribute to innovation overall, risks, and could be this and that, blah, 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 blah. So we just need to formulate it now. So much fun.
No worries.
It's gonna work out.
Really, just the last couple of days, just been like, how long time can it take to write a paper? I know what I have to say, but it's just, it's really taking
time. Yeah. I'm always thinking of school work back in the days, like when we had long exams, like 6-hour exams. I wrote 15 pages.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes.
How can you do
just
that?
Like that?
But I think it's because now it's like academia work and it's something else and it's
something different
but
there was like, of course, that was, but that was also analysis of a text in English or whatever, and then I could easily write 10-15 pages.
But I think
that.
There's so many thoughts behind every
and
each
all the methodology so you always need
to explain everything.
You have to explain everything, you always have to quote, and if I write something on my own, then I write it right, like, so it's and that's just so annoying.
Yeah.
But that still is always my motivation, that I'm like, okay, but if I'm under time pressure and so on, then you can be productive and like...
Yeah. But I look a bit like a craftsmanship, and I think actually it's kind of funny to do it right.
Totally.
But it takes time.
Yeah, I'm also always trying to see myself as an author. It's like a really important piece of work.
Yeah.
That adds to the universe. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, exciting stuff.
Yeah.
I just love Copenhagen and everything that's happening here. Why do they have these?
I think so, it's not making
for
any noise.
For the cable.
Aha, cleveros. Clever.
But I hope I can invite you out here soon and make food in the kitchen. Yeah. Actually, do you know, I just... As I told you before, sometimes people approach me, and I just got approached by a big organization who's gonna need a lot of food next Friday. Something that you can hand over, just like sandwiches or something. Do you know?
Because what is it? Because we got a wasn't it like next Friday as well? They never got back to us.
Who?
Founder's House.
No, it's not for Founders House. But do you know, because the food entrepreneurs I know that could do something like that, they don't have time. Do you know any?
What kind of food should it be?
Something that you can have, like a sandwich or something. Mm.
Do you know Simon Westbauer?
No.
No? He's doing these kind of things as well. Let me show you.
Mm-hmm. Who is him?
He even has a location now in Nørrebro. Christina knows him. Christina knows everyone. He's now Westfor Manor, is it called? Westfor. And he's also doing catering, at least he has been doing caterings. There's some pictures of his food. I've never tasted his food, but I heard only good things about it. And he's doing sorts of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And also for bigger events, I guess. How many people?
100.
100, okay.
Maybe more.
Yeah, and his girlfriend is doing cakes, so...
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's always the same coming. But I don't know if he's busy with his own thingy.
No, I can try.
And otherwise.